This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Our first guest, Mark Twite, has had a 20-year professional climbing career. He founded Jim Jones, a physical training facility and web-based educational motivational program. He's trained lead actors for numerous blockbuster action films and now owns a media company producing periodicals, books, and a weekly podcast that examines the intersection between art and action, the philosophy of effort, and the active expression of it. Now, this Friday in the Salt Lake Gallery Stroll, Mark will present an evening of imagery from his latest book, Refuge: Effort, Environment, Emotion. Mark Twite, welcome to The Mountain Life. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me up.
Well, you have a very interesting life. And it starts off, and we were just talking about this in the green room, about being a mountaineer for 20 years or so as a profession and deciding to leave it. That's very interesting in and of itself.
It seemed like the right thing at the time. And basically was on the tail end of what I would consider sort of the apex of my career in terms of climbs. And I understood immediately that the logical progression was one that I could not make. And so we had done this big thing in the Alaska Range, which was a climb that had been previously climbed in the mid-80s, took 11 days and a lot of fixed rope, and then was repeated a month before we climbed it by two very capable guys, and it took them 7 days. And then I was with Steve House and Scott Backes, and we thought we could climb it in a 48-hour nonstop push, and it ended up taking 60 hours. And this was an idea that we'd been working on for a long, long time, and the next step was to go to the Himalayas, and I was too anchored to the ground at that point, so it was time to stop.
Mm. Being anchored to the ground is not a great depiction of someone who is a mountaineer.
Well, I mean, it's the only term that I could come up with at the time, where, like, why can't I go away for 3 months? Why has my relationship with risk changed? And yeah. and it arrives at a point where, okay, I have stuff to live for, which was a constraint that I didn't always have when I was younger, let's say.
Mm. What makes one a professional mountaineer or mountain climber? Is it the sponsorship?
It depends. Like there are a couple of different ways. And, you know, certainly in my lifetime, there was, you know, there were people who were guiding and earning their living mm-hmm. that way, being a professional climber. And that could be on, you know, mountains in North America, the Alps, Himalayas, et cetera. Or they might be good enough or speak well enough to be of a useful marketing tool, or they might have ideas that would help companies in the climbing industry, the outdoor industry, to develop new products and that kind of thing. And that was sort of my path, was sponsorship, but then also working as a technical advisor, copywriter. And then I gave a bunch of, I would go around and give sort of multimedia presentations and things like that to mm-hmm. bring the story back.
Mark, I'm really interested in the connection that you make in your book, Refuge, between effort and environment and emotion. And I think that people experience that in different ways. You obviously have experienced in your way through your lens, through your life experience. But can you describe that connection for us a little bit? Because I think yours is a real acute expression of it.
Yes, I think I can describe what I mean by that. All of those things are pieces that have influenced me in my trajectory and what I've done and been, you know, allowed to experience in a way. And to me, I use effort as my active meditation, let's say, that and also as a means of stripping myself down to make myself more sensitive. Because we go into every situation in life with some kind of expectation, some sort of prejudice, if you will, about the experience. And by the time you've been going for 24 hours nonstop, any ideas that I had about what was going to happen are gone, and I am only sensitized to the present. And that can be a very emotional sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And all of that for me takes place, it took place in the mountain environment as a climber. But then my experience of having quit climbing and then coming down, you know, our environment is It's everywhere. We live in it. We breathe it. And in our training programs, we always talk about, okay, if we control the environment itself, which could be the training space, it could be socially the social environment, we can control, then we can control the output that comes out of that. So those are my tenuous connections. Between those things.
Stripping everything away to allow yourself to engage in the present moment is a fascinating exercise. And for those who get a taste of it, it's really interesting. And for those who step a little further into it, I think it's really profound. Did you see Free Solo with the recent documentary that's out?
I am familiar with it. Have not, and I see pieces of it, but I have not watched it.
Yeah, that's an unfair one to kind of throw at you because of your experience with climbing and everything. But you know, it goes to that ability to become present, and that's something that I just thought of that I've recently seen that, and his ability to become so present to allow for what happened or what he's able to do is what you're kind of conveying, I think, in your story.
And I think allow is the appropriate term in that sense, just because clearly, I mean, there's nothing I love more than seeing an individual doing what I perceive that they were put on Earth to do. And in that, you know, in what Alex did, you know, and obviously Free Solo is the most publicized thing, but there's, you know, decades of preparation and practice and other, you know, rather incredible accomplishments that led up and allowed that to, you know, to happen. But risk, I think, has especially sort of, you know, a confrontation with mortality in that sense of risk. I think it has a very commanding effect on people. Like it compels you to be present. Like you can't be anything but present.
And do your photos, so I had a very different experience looking at your photos. They express activity and achievement and present moment, the experience of present moment, but in a calming way. For me, it was very calming, where watching Alex in Free Solo, I was sweating and paralyzed in the seat for the last 30 minutes of the film.
Even though you knew the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, even though I knew the outcome.
Which is a really, it's a funny thing, because the spoiler alert is, I mean, if you saw the publicity tour before, before you ever saw the movie, it's like, wow, obviously nothing bad happened. but the first, thank you, I don't call myself a photographer most of the time, just that I walk around with the camera and I see things and point my camera at them, but part of my previous writing, I have two other books that I published, and certainly the second one, Kiss or Kill, would be a bit more enervating, let's say, in terms of, because my relationship with the mountains was very different, and I'd started working on Refuge in November of 2016, and at a completely different point in my life. So this is 16 years after I actively quit, you know, consciously quit climbing. There was some methadone years, as I call them, up to about 2010, where I still needed a little bit. And I was doing a lot of climbing with as part of the job that I did with military training. But my relationship to the mountains is more calm now. And I think maybe that sort of comes through in the beginning of the book.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Mark Twight. He is an author, a photographer, a podcaster, a world-renowned climber, and he's got a presentation coming up on Friday, April 5th, from 6 to 9 p.m., a story presentation at 7 p.m., looking through his photographic essay, Refuge, a beautiful book. It's taking place at 972 South, 300 West. What is that?
That's our space, which we jokingly call the nonprofit event center, because that's nonprofit, and that's PROPHET, is the sort of the name of our business, and that developed as a reaction to my previous business, having been sort of accused of being a religious cult. I mean, obviously the name Jim Jones would, you know, maybe strike
a chord in some.
And that was sort of a play on words. And then we just ran with the whole religious, that's what you think this is. Well, then we're going to have Sunday sermons. And this is, you know, the public email address is going to be redemption@, you know. And so we just pulled all of the religious terms. And now I'm just like, okay, I'm no prophet. I'm just a guy, you know, with a big mouth.
We might mention Jim Jones is G-Y-M,
yes.
Jim, like gymnasium Jones.
Which was quite a useful learning experience for a long mm-hmm. time. And then wasn't suddenly. Mm-hmm. Because I had to, if there's anything that I have sort of wanted to do or been able to do in my life, and it's been to keep myself from sort of repeating myself.
Mm, it sounds that way from all the things you do. So you came off being a professional climber. It was the apex of your climbing career where you said, you know what, I'm not going to go further, higher. I know I want to live and I have things to live for. So then your life gets really interesting where you go into this, you're training military, like special ops, because as we know from seeing Alex Honnold, Tommy Caldwell, Kevin Jorgensen in these climbing stories, a climber is the most fit human on earth, I think.
I mean, some of what we were teaching the military in the beginning had to do with fitness. Most of that came later. In the beginning, it was all sort of cold weather and high altitude related because that was my area of expertise. That, you know, sort of morphed into, you know, post 9/11. A friend of mine who's worked for the DOD got a sat phone call from somebody who's freezing their tail off in Afghanistan. Saying, man, that cold weather clothing system you guys made 5 years ago, that was great 5 years ago when we didn't have this job.
Yeah.
But now we're here. It's very real. The Hindu Kush is, you know, it's a high place. And so he contacted me, and I'd just been working with Patagonia on what had become the regulator clothing system, and essentially got hired as the subject matter expert to develop a similar clothing system for all the special operations that... And so we started in, I think that phone call happened in March of 2002. And shortly thereafter, within a year and a half, we had a system that went out to the Navy and was issued to all of SOCOM 6 years later.
Hmm.
And so so I came in as a climber, could sort of hold my own on the shooting range with them, earned a bunch of respect from that because they realized I wasn't just a hacky sack kicking hippie. Hmm.
You were that too, but these other little, things.
I was never very good at Haggy Zack. And so once they realized, like, okay, part of this whole moving in this mountain environment has to do with fitness and controlling what you can control so that you have extra horsepower available to deal with whatever chaos might happen. And that was when we started bringing the fitness piece into the military training.
So... then you move on. Well, talk to us briefly about your podcast. It's going to be really hard and, you know, just the couple minutes we have left to hear about all the things you've done in your life. But podcast, very popular podcast.
I actually don't know if it's, you know, we tend to generate some controversy, I guess, because I tend to, sometimes I say things that without a filter, if you will. Some people think it's a fitness podcast. I think it's, because that's where, you know, Michael and I come from, has been, you know, training people for movie roles or training people, outside of that. And sometimes we do talk about fitness. Our most recent one is about nutrition, but the one before that had to do with sort of the movie business. The one before that was all about dogs. And that one was, I mean, that's probably our most loved podcast. Was 2 hours and 45 minutes about dogs.
That would be very popular here in Park City. We're known as a dog town, and we have a long history of dogs and all sorts of issues around off-leash, on-leash areas, allowed places.
Yeah.
Pick up your poop and no poop fairy. Yes, there is a poop fairy. Now there's got to be a dog poop bag fairy.
I believe, yeah. Once from getting it in the bag to getting the bag to... the appropriate destination.
That's the next phase.
It must be. I do believe some people think that is a magical operation.
So tell us what we can hear if we come on Friday down to the non-profit center.
So it's a one night only, separate from the standard third Friday gallery stroll, and so it's a special event, and it's tied to the book launch, where so there'll be copies of the book obviously for sale because it's what we're trying to get it in the hands of some people, but there will also be some. I think this time I have about 17 prints that are there in a sort of a gallery type setting. We repurpose our space into sort of an art gallery. And some of these prints are large. There's a couple of the, I think there's going to be five now of the big panoramas that are 48 inches wide framed. And then at 7 o'clock, I'll do sort of a 30-minute spoken word performance, which is a little bit about my climbing career, but then basically about how Refuge happened, which is essentially the story, the thesis of the book is that sooner or later, every climber has to come down. And some are able to consciously make that decision. Some have that decision made for them, and some don't come down. And when I say come down, it's not just descending, it's integrating into life in the valley when, you know, you develop a certain relationship to all things urban, all things, you know, the what one might call the normal human experience by having, you know, looked at it from these high places. And I used to look down and think of how trivial that, you know, personal property was, or owning a, you know, place to live and the mortgage and credit card debt and, you know, all of those things that one might want to sort of own a motor vehicle maybe. and all those things were trivia to me. I mean, and to quit climbing, there was nothing that could fill this void. And so my joke now is that I spent 20 years as a professional climber and then another 20 recovering from that, because it is something that changed my perception. It set up my ideals, my morals, how I relate to the world, and it took a long time to be comfortable down here.
Mm. Well, come and witness Mark Twight's recovery from climbing this Friday,
April 5th. It'll be like a therapy session that we'll get to watch.
It's from 6 to 9 p.m. Mark will present at 7 p.m. It's 972 South, 300 West. We'll also put that on the kpcw.org website. On our page, The Mountain Life, he'll feature his new book, a photographic essay, Refuge, Effort, Environment, and Emotion. Mark, it's been great meeting you. Thanks for stopping by the studio today.
Thank you for inviting me up and plying me with good questions.